Our scripture lesson for today is from Amos chapter 7, verses 12 through 15. Then Amaziah said to Amos, "Get out, you seer. Go back to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there and do your prophesying there. Don't prophesy anymore at Bethel, because this is the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom." Amos answered Amaziah, "I was neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I was a shepherd, and I also took care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, 'Go prophesy to my people Israel.'" This is the word of the Lord.
If I can, I'd just like to read verse 14 one more time. Again, out of Amos chapter 7. I would encourage you, if you have your Bibles with you, to turn to that. It's funny, sometimes the minor prophets, if you're not careful, you can just kind of blow right by them in the Bible, because sometimes they're only a page or two. But if you have your Bibles with you or a Bible near you, would encourage you to jump into Amos. Verse 14 again says, "Amos answered Amaziah, 'I was neither a prophet nor a son of a prophet, but I was a shepherd. I took care of sycamore trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, "Go prophesy to my people Israel."'" Would you bow your heads with me, please? Lord, as we come before you in this morning, you know, our heart's desire, Lord, is to learn. Lord, may your presence just fill this place. Lord, open our eyes, our hearts, our ears to what you have for us. Lord, we desire to grow in the grace and knowledge of you. Lord, be in this place, we pray. And in Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. Now again, in the book of Amos, just a little historical background quickly. Amos is at the time of when the kingdom of Israel was split into two. You remember, David brings the kingdom together, one nation, Israel. It has tremendous success under Solomon. You remember Solomon with all the riches and all the glory. There was a time of peace. The nation grows, and it's in their heyday. Things start to fall apart after Solomon. You have family fights, and the nation of Israel, which was one, is split into two. And it just gets interesting because the northern kingdom is called Israel. The southern kingdom is called Judah. And the message, as we go back, let me back up. As we go through time, what we start to see is, actually, eventually both kingdoms fall. At this point in time in the history of the nations, the northern kingdom is a bit ahead of the southern kingdom as far as their walk away from the Lord. And Amos is called to go, and what we discover in the northern kingdom at this time, that they are materially wealthy. They are materially prosperous. They have everything that they would need, but they are morally bankrupt. They are spiritually bankrupt, and God is sending Amos to go to the people of Israel, the northern kingdom, with a wake-up call. Because God's saying, basically, you are not behaving as I had called my people to behave or to live. You're not demonstrating the compassion, the mercy, the grace, what I've desired for my people. You are failing badly. The timeline, it's about 750 BC. Okay? So many centuries before Christ. Again, as we talked about, Amos is one of the minor prophets. Now, again, because they're minor, that doesn't mean that we don't read them. Okay, they're minor because it's not because they're unimportant, or it's like I just kind of don't need to bother with that. They're minor in the sense that their ministry, their service, their time of prophecy is not as long as someone, say, like Isaiah or Jeremiah, that had a very long sense of service, a long sense of taking God's word and going out and speaking to the people. Okay. Just because they're minor doesn't mean they're not important. But they're an interesting bunch for those who have the study Bibles, and they'll give introductions to the different books. Would encourage you at some point on a rainy day or when the snow starts to fly and you really don't want to go out and you have some time, go and look at the introductions and see the background of these folks. It's very, very interesting. In general sense, they're not celebrities. They were not major political figures in society. They were not powerful politically. They were not rich. There was really nothing notable, frankly, about them in themselves. But for whatever reason, God called them into service, and he used them for his work, for very important work. And what we discover is that these minor prophets, all of them, had a major message, And at the very least, they were all called into service for the Lord, and they answered. When God said, go, they went. And you think to yourself, what is a reluctant farmer? We read the text. Amos wasn't exactly excited about his job per se, but he went. I think, what does a reluctant farmer turned prophet have to teach us today? But I'll tell you, I think as we look at Amos, we see one who is called to be a messenger. And we find insight from God for our lives today, for who he's looking for, how he's going to use them, and where is God going to send them. Because I want to encourage you, here's the thing for us today. Every single person who would claim Christ as Savior and as Lord, living obedient under his lordship in their life, has the call from God to go and proclaim. Right? We have the call from God to go and proclaim. Okay? So the first idea, let you consider, is the people that God picks. You know, the people that God picks. You always kind of wonder why. Why did you get picked? You know, I wonder about that, my dear wife who loves me. You're like, why did you pick me? That's just amazing to me still, but I'm glad she did. But our Lord picks people, okay, for his work from all walks of life with all backgrounds, okay? Again, consider Amos. Amos saying in almost in rebuke to the crowd, he's like, I was neither a prophet nor a son of a prophet, but I was a shepherd. And I also took care of sycamore fig trees. But God took me from tending the flock, and he said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. He's a shepherd. He's a farmer. He's not a trained prophet or a religious leader or an educated person, someone who would have spent time in the academy if there even was one. You know, he doesn't come from those professional circles that we would expect people to come from to deliver such a message. You know, he's a shepherd. And I have to say, Precious Moments, those little figurine things you see in the Hallmark store, have done wonders for the whole thing of shepherding, because, you know, they're cute and the big eyes and they just kind of sit there and like, oh, they're so adorable. But that's not shepherding. I was a shepherd. I look nothing like those figurines. And back in that time, you figure you're out all day, you're in the weather, you're sleeping on the ground, you're fighting wild animals. Right? You got a tough life. You have a tough life. I remember growing up on the farm, and the older gentlemen that had been farming all their life, okay, and their skin was weathered, and it was permanently tan, and it just... It's a hard life. It's a hard life. And particularly shepherds back in that time, again, lower social status, not the belle of the balls. Okay? Tough, tough characters. But as you think about God choosing Amos as a messenger for his word, okay? But it's just that God has a very unlikely, kind of unorthodox way of picking people and selecting folks. You're just like, Lord, why that person? If you read through Hebrews 11, that, you know, that hall of fame of the faithful, Okay? You read through them in chapter 11, and you see the different names. The different names that are listed, and you're like, I never think that person would have made it into the Hall of Fame of faithful. Go back and read their stories in the Old Testament. But God picks a variety of people for his use to proclaim his message. Move to the New Testament. Consider the disciples. I mean, they were a motley bunch of folks if you've ever met them. Think about their different backgrounds, where they were in society, their different education, their experiences. I mean, it ran the gamut. I'll just pull out one, my favorite, Matthew. And he was a tax collector. He was a Jew working for the Romans to take money from his own people. And how popular do you think he was? But God called him to be a disciple. We read through the Bible, we find God picking men and women, rich and poor, educated, and those without any education. Those who are at the center of society and those who are far out of society. But I think the scripture that came to my mind, Paul reminds us this way. This is to the church at Corinth. He says, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And they chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him you are in Jesus Christ, who has become for us the wisdom of God, is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. And I read through that qualification. If that's the qualification list for service, for the Lord, to be called by the Lord, I know I fit in that. I think we all can kind of find a place in that. God finds his messengers in everyday people because God can use every single one of us. We want to take ourselves out of the game because of our background. God says, you know what? I'm greater than your background. I'm greater than your history. I am greater. And I can use you. Because ultimately, our qualification for service is not anything that we have within ourselves. Yeah, he's going to use our gifts and talents. Yeah. But ultimately, it's not anything we necessarily have in ourselves. Our number one qualification for service is obedience. Is obedience. Yes, Lord, I'll go. Yes, Lord, I'll serve. Yes, Lord, I hear what you're saying. Help me, and I'll follow. That's who he's looking for. That's who is called. That's the qualification of a servant. Second thought, not only we consider God who picks, but we consider the purpose of God's call. Okay, God gave Amos words to speak. That's very clear. We read that right in the text. It's super obvious. Again, reading the opening verses of Amos. Amos 1, the words of Amos, the ones of the shepherd of Tekoa, the vision he saw concerning Israel 2 years before the earthquake when Uzziah the king of Judah and Jeroboam the son of Joash was king of Israel. We see it. God gives him a message. And he says, this is what you're going to say. This is where you're going. And Amos 1:3, we see this. This is what the Lord says. And you see that through the book. This is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord says. And again, we see that phraseology everywhere. Clearly, Amos is proclaiming what God has said to him. He is giving the message that God has provided to him. Is there even the last verse in the book? The book concludes by saying, says the Lord your God. Okay? And we see it in Amos, we see it across the Bible that God is not silent. He is speaking to humanity, he's speaking to people. He has something to say to us. And God is using people to deliver his message, his proclamation to people. He speaks at different times in different places to different people for different reasons. Again, you think about the Old Testament. We have God's message delivered to one person or to an entire nation. We have it delivered to his people. We have it delivered to foreign nations. We have it delivered to a king like David. We have it delivered to a foreign king like Nebuchadnezzar. We have God's word delivered to nations in the time of prosperity, and we have God's word delivered in times of trial and captivity. But God's word, his message, is going out into the world with purpose. Okay? Again, that's just a scripture that came to mind as I was thinking about that. 2 Timothy 3. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You think about those things, what God's word is useful for. God's message is going out with purpose and meaning. Now, I tell you, our response might be, as we consider Amos, and that's all well and good, our response might be, we see someone like Amos, we're like, yeah, God gave Amos a clear message. I get that. To deliver to someone, I get that. I see that in the text. His duty was clear enough. The message was handed right to him, and he went. No sweat. Good for him. And if I was in that same situation, frankly, I would go. Thank you, Lord, for making it clear. I would go. But I'm not Amos. I don't have a message to proclaim. Like, really? Again, everyone who claims Jesus Christ as Savior and is obediently following him as Lord, we have received the call to go in our lives, and we have received a message to proclaim. We have. Consider Jesus' words as he leaves his disciples. This is the end of Matthew. Then Jesus came and he said to all of them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you to the end of the age." To the end of the age. And we read through the New Testament, and it is the story of the proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ that is introduced first by Christ himself, confirmed by his death and resurrection, and carried along by his disciples after the ascension out into the world. Again, I would encourage you, just make a note. Do a word search sometime for those who have the study Bibles, or you go online now. Do a word search put in the New Testament. Just put proclaim. Proclaim. And follow that as it interacts through Acts and Paul and the epistles. And you find the story of men and women going out and proclaiming the gospel and in any number of situations, in a number of places, and for any number of people. They were proclaiming the gospel. They heard the call go, and they went proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Christians, we do have a message to proclaim. We do. We have a message to proclaim to individuals, to family members, to a region, to a neighborhood, to a community, wherever. We have a message to proclaim from the Lord. Paul sums it up. "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you and which you received and on which you've taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved. You've received it by the word I preached to you. And I received what I received, I pass on to you of first importance." Again, there's that proclamation. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried. He was buried and was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and he has appeared to, and Paul goes on to list all the people. And in those verses, that's the summary. That's the message. Paul's like, look, I am passing on to you what was proclaimed to me with the understanding that you're going to go out and you're going to proclaim that to those you encounter. We have a message to proclaim. Just as we read in the New Testament, those who claim Jesus Christ, again, as Savior and Lord, are called to proclaim the good news, the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. That's our message to proclaim. That's good news. And the last thought, consider the place God sends people. Okay? So we know God picks any variety and kinds of people. We fall under that. We know that God gives a message to proclaim. We have that. Now, what about the go? What place am I supposed to be in? Like, Lord, where am I supposed to be? Again, Amos lived during the time when the nation of Israel was split into two parts. He lived in the south. God told him to go to the north. And they were not particularly happy about seeing him. Okay? They were not particularly happy. Even in our text, they were, you know, we saw the interchange. They're trying to throw him out. They're like, look, Amos, go home. Go home. But we find people, if we go through the Bible, you find God sending people out to all different kinds of settings and places and whatnot. He's sending them to another town or within their own town. And God's sending them to different groups of people or to their own families. We find him sending to places where the messenger is kind of uncomfortable. We find God sending messengers to places where they are welcomed and celebrated. Okay? But here's the thing. God points people to places where his message needs to be received, where it needs to be spoken, and it needs to be heard. And again, here's that number one qualification for us as servants. Will we go where he asks us to go? Will we speak when he asks us to speak? The funny thing is you may actually find yourself in the place where God wants you. Oftentimes I'm like, Lord, where do you want to send me? Where do you want to send me? He's like, hey, Matt, you're standing right there. Oh, thank you. And sometimes it's not like, where do I need to be? It's, Lord, just give me the courage to speak right where I am because that's where you want me. Will we respond in obedience? If there's anything, frankly, that makes the minor prophets or any of the biblical characters notable, if there's anything, is that they demonstrated obedience. God said go, and they went. Amos received the word of God for the people, and he went, and despite the obstacles and opposition, he delivered the word. He delivered God's message to the people that needed to hear it. That God said, I need these people to hear this. Go. And he was like, okay. I'm not happy about it, but okay. Again, maybe our response as Christians is like, you know, again, sure, I would take off and go. God, tell me right where to stand, and I'm there. You know, be as clear as that to Amos. But you know what? I just haven't felt a call to go anywhere. You haven't given me a place to be. You haven't given me a place to proclaim. I'm like, well, to which I say, really? Again, if you go to the opening chapter of Acts, okay, we read that, just that part where the church is starting to just take off, just starting to grow. Christ has ascended, and it's just the opening lines of the church. We read in Acts, then they gathered around him. This is the disciples and the follower of Christ. They gathered around Jesus and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They wanted something very different than what Christ was about to tell them. He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates of the Father as set by his own authority. But he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, to all Judea, and to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Okay? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth. Okay? And that's the story we see in Acts. Okay? The proclamation of the gospel by the disciples, by the followers of Jesus in these ever-growing circles. Okay. Expanding from Jerusalem and just kind of moving out. That's easy to see if you look at Paul's missionary journeys, but ever-expanding circles, like when you throw the rock into a puddle or into water and you see those ripples start to go out. The gospel is being spread and proclaimed. And you think about it. If you claim Christ as Lord and Savior, you are, we are, the fruit of that proclamation in Acts 1. Right? Somebody, people, through time, have proclaimed and carried the message and spoken to folks, and it has reached us. And we have it. That folks from Acts 1 all the way to now, there's been a faithful line of proclamation for us to receive, and we are in that faithful line of proclamation to continue it out into the future, again, in those ever-growing circles. So where is God calling us? What are our circles? Could be family, parents, grandparents. The mission field right there with the kids, with the grandkids. There's a circle. Mission field right in front of us. I'm reminded of 2 Timothy. Paul writes, he says, "Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, that I may be persuaded now that also lives in you." You see the line of proclamation? Grandmother, mother, son. Don't, grandparents, parents, don't ever underestimate the opportunity you have in proclamation with your family, with your kids. Another circle, neighborhood, region, state, nation. You think about it. Now, the reality is God will call, not all will be called to every circle, but I would say that I think every faithful Christian to be called to one of the circles. And you may even say in your life, you can see where you have served in different ways. And I think, frankly, for us right now, there is such a moment of the local congregation and the church is just, there's such a need and an opportunity for the local congregation equipping, not only encouraging and ministering to and comforting its members. Okay, that is always essential. But the training, education, support, and equipping of the local members to go, wherever that might be. Wherever that might be. There was an article that was running. They talked, you know, they always, the challenge has been when Christian kids go to college, they often lose their faith or the faith gets challenged, they struggle and they fall away. The article was basically saying for many of the kids, there's no faith to even challenge anymore when they get to college. Okay. I just think the opportunity and the necessity, the priority for the local congregation, that equipping, that teaching, that, you know, the Christians, family, kids. And I love what Paul says. I think the military model, frankly, for church works, or the Christian works well. You think of, you know, he always likens the often Christians to soldiers, the believer as a soldier. And, you know, the church is often, I would call it like base camp. It is running people through basic training, okay, equipping and teaching young Christians, but it's also for the training and support of the veterans, per se. So essential. So essential. And just that's why I'm just excited about what's happening, what's excited about what McDonald is doing, because just that equipping, encouraging, teaching in, but also going out and serving. And I just, there is no more time than now for the local church, for that training, equipping of its members, and serving the community. So think about it. Those circles. Christians, think about what circle. Where are we? Again, just as Amos received a word for God to proclaim, we receive an awesome word to share with others. We have received the good news of God's forgiveness, the free gift of eternal life through Christ's death on the cross. Now, how could we not share that? How could that does not excite us? I'm excited to share with folks when I get $2 off on my get-go gas, you know, and how much more important is eternal life, you know? So, anyways. Well, as we wrap up, let me encourage us. I mean, God is still using messengers today to proclaim his word. You know, we might think, and it's easy to, I'm not one of those Bible characters. I don't have that. I don't have the skills. That's not in me. God would not choose me. I want to encourage you. God can use everybody. He uses everybody and anybody. We have the gospel story to share with people. Again, the story of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, the gift of God's love through the cross. Isn't that a message for everybody? If for all times, no matter where we are. I just think every person who has received Jesus Christ as Savior, and again, following them obediently as Lord, has received that message in their life and is called to proclaim the good news. Somebody has told us that story. We have received it. It is our responsibility. It is our response to God's call to go out and share it. We end with this. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here, and all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation." Have salvation, ministry of reconciliation, that service, that God is reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against him. And he has committed to us the ministry, the message of reconciliation. He's committed to us the message of reconciliation. That's what we proclaim. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You see, that the message we have, ambassadors of Christ, proclaiming the message to others, be reconciled to God. I just want to encourage you with this last idea is, have you received the gospel story personally? Have you received the word that God has delivered to us through Christ, that our sins are forgiven through repentance and eternal life is available to you through Jesus Christ? Have you received that message? Because unless you've received that message and Christ is your Savior, there's really nothing to pass on. We just encourage you to examine your hearts and your minds and say, "Yes, Lord, yes, you are my Savior." Because again, if he is not Savior and Lord, there is no message to pass. Receive him today. And for those who have received the gospel, call Christ Savior and Lord, may we go out in faithful obedience. If you just seek his face, "Lord, where would you have me go? I know you can use me. I know I have the message. I know I'm ready to, Lord, where would you use me? Maybe it's in the church. Maybe it's outside the church. Who knows? Who knows? Lord, where would you have me?" Age doesn't bench us. Our background doesn't bench us. Nothing benches us from being his servants. May we follow him in grateful obedience. How beautiful on the mountain are the feet of those who bring good news. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me? Dear Lord, we just come before you. Lord, our heart's desire is to be faithful. Our heart's desire, Lord, is to hear what you have for us. Lord, it might be challenging, yes. It might send us from places and ask us to do things where we're not comfortable, yes. But Lord, we go where we follow you, knowing that you're with us. And Lord, we just rest in that confidence, we rest in that security. Lord, we rest that, Lord, you will be with us, Lord, as we are faithful. And Lord, I just, I'm thankful for the work that is happening in this congregation, for the work that has supported this church and has strengthened this church and brought this church to this point. Lord, may that continue. Encourage and strengthen those who are working today, Lord, and working tomorrow and the weeks and months and years to come. And Lord, may your presence just be thick in this place, Lord, creating servants and the faithful who are, Lord, are going. Lord, again, if there's anyone here who's not received you as Savior, Lord, may this be the day of salvation. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.